porn promises pleasure. But what if that's the reason you can't feel anything when you're with someone real? GT Tan joins me to talk addiction, rebooting your sex drive, and why some men can't even get turned on without a screen. Yeah, we're going there. Quick heads up, friends. I partnered with Paul Bauer from the Come On Man podcast, and he's got four killer resources that can seriously up your dating game. From building confidence to mastering conversations to the dead bedroom syndrome, it's all stuff I stand behind. And yes, I get a small commission if you grab one. You're not just supporting yourself, you're supporting the show too. Win-win, right? Check the links in the show notes. Now on to the show. Oh, and one more thing. Buy me a cup of coffee in the show notes. You'll see a link. $5 to $10, please. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of Digital Dating with Anonymous Andrew. And I am really excited tonight. We have a very special guest with us. Tonight joining me is GT Tan, and he is a reboot strategist. And I'm going to stop there and welcome GT and ask him what that means. Welcome to GT. And what is a reboot strategist?
Yes. A reboot strategy is what we do is that we help a lot of men, you know, with their sexual wellness and also their lives, especially in regards to their mind. And I think a lot of men, you know, actually are struggling with porn addiction. And a majority, that's what we do with our porn reboot program. And we also help them to address other parts of their life, because at the end of the day, you got to reboot. You cannot recover, because most men, they never really live a long enough life without porn, right? Most men actually have lived most of the adult life, if not the entire adult life, with porn or with some kind of sexual influence from social media. And hence, you know, it's important to reboot rather than recover, because you don't have an original state to recover towards. So,
well, I couldn't agree more, because I'm up there in my age. But when I was growing up, there was none of this. Internet, cell phones, mobile. You know, when I wanted to date or talk to a girl from high school, I had to pick up a phone.
Yep.
And I would hide in the basement staircase. Yep. And the cord would. You know, so there. And
if I, the mall, right?
Yep. And if I wanted to look at porn, I'd have to steal my dad's Playboy, which would be dangerous, because if he caught me, I got in trouble. But that was my only exposure to porn. Yeah. And that was back in the 1970s, mid-70s, whatever. Mm-hmm. Today, guys that are born in 2000, which just blows my mind, are exposed to this at what? Some of them are exposed as early as 7 or 8 or 9.
Yeah, the average age is 6 or so.
You go. And they see it. So depending on the social media platform, like TikTok, there's some platforms that allow nudity, like X or Twitter. Yep. And so they can see it there. They can see it. They can go, they can just Google go to Pornhub or RedTube or any of them. I don't know some of the major ones, because I dabbled in porn for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I have a background in the addiction world, because I am a recovering alcoholic and addict. So I do know what addiction is like. But I saw somewhere in your profile that porn addiction, recovery from porn addiction, is different from other addictions. So like a 12-step program might not help somebody with a porn addiction. Would you say that?
I would say that, yeah.
Okay.
Because would you mind me elaborate a little bit?
Well, I'm just reading what's on your profile. It said something to the effect, let me see it. Something where it said common. Okay, I don't see it now. But somewhere it said something about standard recovery from addiction doesn't work for porn addiction.
Yeah, because porn addiction, you're dealing with like the drug that we created in our mind, right? Essentially, our brain is the factory of the drug, and we actually trigger it by having some sexual stimulation that is fictional, that is man-made, and that is not involved in genuine intimacy with a woman, right? You know, and that's why with drugs and alcohol is external. We don't have a basic necessity or need for drugs and alcohol to stay alive. And that's why 12-step is created to deal with substance abuse, right? You know, not porn addiction. And unfortunately, yes, there is a SAA, Sexaholics Anonymous.
Correct.
Or Sexaholics and Love Anonymous, some call it SLAA, right? Mm-hmm. And they go to meetings and whatnot. The reports that I get with my clients that I work with is that they don't feel belong. They would show up, they would talk about their problems, but they will hear like someone else next to them struggle with, they have fantasy about maybe like, you know, even having sex with like, you know, with a underage person. You know, so that's why, because they are court ordered, you know, they're there to show up, right? And for someone who's just struggling with porn, they're like, whoa, wait.
I don't relate to that.
I don't relate to that. Yeah, exactly. This is way too much. Yeah. And hence, they don't even see the aspirational figure for them to actually change for the better. And their problem becomes kind of like not a big deal, relatively. So.
And that's how IAA and NA and all them works, because when an addict or an alcoholic sits down, they will hear a story that resonates, because most alcoholics and addicts have the same story.
The same story. Exactly.
Different body, different era or whatever, but they have the same.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's different with porn because it's still very generalized. Sex and love, you know, anonymous, right? It's very generalized, too generalized. And it's not specific. And only that, in regards to this, there's also in 12 steps, I think like the system is focusing on submitting, just letting go of power.
Correct.
Right? You know, and then
surrendering,
right? Which I understand the concept of it. I think it's very helpful for the substance abuse. But when it comes to something that we as a human, we have the basic instinct to procreate. As a human, from when we were just a cell, right? What do we want? We want to split from one cell to two cells to four cells and so on. That's how it's a very basic instinct, is to survive and procreate. Survive and procreate. And porn screws up that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a biological part of our DNA. And mm-hmm. I've spoken about this so many times. The male and female bodies were designed solely for reproduction. I'm going back 10,000 years to the caveman years.
Absolutely.
It was just, that was it. It was the man went out and got the food, came home, and he had sex with the woman, and she bare the children. But today, and I wonder if the world population is going to take a hit from this, because, mm-hmm. This is a good point to segue into how porn addiction is affecting the dating world, because if men can sit home, and I have to word this carefully so I don't offend the ladies, but if a man can sit home and watch porn all night, mm-hmm. have several orgasms, mm-hmm. whatever he can do, mm-hmm. and then go watch TV or go video game or whatever, he doesn't have to go on a date, pay for the date, pick up the girl, make small talk, ask for a second date, have all that anxiety. Mm-hmm. And his race sexual rejection. Needs, face rejection, mm-hmm. and his basic... So let's be honest. Men go on dates to ultimately find a partner to have sex with and have a relationship with. If it's in that order or not, it could be have a relationship, then have sex, or have sex, then a relationship. Or just to have sex, because that's what today's generation is, just hooking up everywhere. But anyway, so in your research and in your practice, what are you seeing, how it's affecting the dating scene?
Absolutely horrible. It's pretty much like creating a whole entire generation of men, or generations of men, actually, because it's affecting men from all ages, from teenage age all the way to, actually, our oldest client is 94 years old. So it doesn't matter how old you are, it affects you, right? You know, and it's causing you to be complacent. It's causing you to pretty much lose the drive to even try to like go out, because when you orgasm as a man, you just lose the energy, right? You know, and I don't know the actual specific signs of it. I think it's like at least 30% or even 50% of energy after your orgasm that you felt like you just kind of lost. That's why you feel sleepy, you know, and of course, tryptophan and all the serotonin, all that neurotransmitters, right, and hormones will flood your brain, and that's why you feel so relaxed.
Well, you hit that high, and then you crash. Yeah, it's like the sugar crash, or the alcohol crash, or the cocaine crash.
But this is different. This is even more, you know, drastic than any other crashes that you feel as a man, especially, you know, after you orgasm, right, after you ejaculate. So, and when you waste that energy, it's a very strong, powerful, vital energy. You lose that desire to connect with women. You lose that attraction to connect with women.
Yep.
And then there's even like you lose that edge. You know how like a lot of fighters, when they actually right before the big game, or even athletes, pro athletes, what do? They actually stay abstinent from sex, even with their wives.
Yep.
Right? Why? Because they want to stay on top of the game, right? And even in like Napoleon Hill's books, you know, has talked about sexual transmutation, right? And I don't get too, you know, I'm not going to get too all the way into that tangent, but at the end of the day, it changes your brain. And not only that, it keeps the man's brain to remain a sheep, to remain a spectator. Because when you're watching porn, you're training your mind to spectate other people having sex or other people getting it on without your involvement.
And let's take it a step further. What they're seeing on the screen is not real. It's not love. It's not emotional. There's either the size of the performer's genitals aren't real. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the ejaculate is not real. Mm-hmm. The stories aren't real. The fantasies aren't real. All of it is manufactured. I had Vic Legina on not too long ago. I don't know if you know who that is, but he was the executive producer of Pornhub for about 20 years.
Mm.
And he gave us a whole back scene of what goes on the porn shoot. And it's not...
Oh, it's all fake. Like,
it's all fake.
The technology that Pornhub, you know, or in any other like different, you know, porn site. I think Pornhub and all these big sites are all like MindGeek, right? Under one umbrella, really, right? It's bigger than like some of the Hollywood productions. So they have the resources, financial resources, like technology to create all of those tools to pretty much like change how we view sex, literally, and brainwash us.
I have so many questions.
Sure.
Let's just circle back quickly. Mm-hmm. You talked about men who watch porn and they masturbate and then they have that, we call it, in my day, we had that shame. Oh my God, that was disgusting. And I feel dirty.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't wait to clean up and blah,
yeah. Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
But I'm hearing that young men, 18 to 25, can do this day or throughout the night. So they may ejaculate in the morning and then at 2 o'clock they're doing it again and then they're doing it at 5 o'clock. So they're having multiple orgasms throughout the day because they're addicted to it so much. Is there any science about how that works?
What do you mean?
Well, because we just talked about once the man has an orgasm, he's done. Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. Thing like, you know.
Or is it the refractory period?
Yeah, the refractory period, right? But of course, when they're younger, the refractory period is a lot shorter, right? Because they're young. They have a young body, and you know, their testosterone level is a lot higher, you know, and then the recovery rate is a lot faster. But what I've noticed from my clients, we have guys reach out to us, literally early 20s. They have porn-induced erectile dysfunction because of this issue. They're not able to get up in front of a beautiful woman in real life, but they're able to get up with porn, which means that that brain has been rewired to what? To get aroused from a screen, from a fictional fairy tale, from perfect angles, perfect skins, or like lighting, right?
And then when you put a real woman in the room, he can't.
No. Because when you put a real woman in a room, you also have to deal with what? The communication part of it, right? The actual physical touch,
the seduction,
smell, the seduction, and the smell, the actual human scent,
the sweat,
all the other stuff comes all together in actual sex, right? Sex is not, you know,
and
it's actually pretty messy.
For me, that's the best part of it. Getting
absolutely,
a woman through my front door into my bedroom and having sex because I've been doing it for 40 years and I'm gonna say this very humbly, I'm very good at it And because I know how to treat a woman and I know what to say to her, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
So I enjoy the messiness. I don't like after we have sex, whoever it is, I don't mind if we're sweaty. I don't mind if we're laying
it's
in a pool.
It's part of intimacy. It's part of intimacy. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, but with men who are actually so addicted to porn, right? Or any kind of screen, right? That includes cam sites. That includes any of the conversations, either text, you know, audio messages or even video messages, right? On OnlyFans, right? Or any of these like AI, you know, girlfriend sites, you know, chatbots, right? Oh, it's all so glued. And then it changes like how you feel about your dating. And because it's so easy, quote unquote, and a lot of men now, they have no skill, really.
No skill
to go out. You know, to like look at a beautiful woman in a public space,
approach her,
and then, well, maybe just approach her to get to know her first and see where she's at.
Is court that her
mistakes, right? And court her and go from there, right? You know, and be curious about getting to know that person as a human rather than like you objectifying her and literally catcalling her in your mind without actually approaching. So,
all right, you brought up a term that we discussed, we had earlier before we recorded that we were going to talk about. You brought up the term OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. So, if I am a man that's looking at Pornhub and I'm watching a, I don't know, 5 minute, 20 minute reel of two people having sex, that's me being an exhibitionist or like you used a different term earlier. You're just watching. Spectator. That was the word. Spectator. Now I go. So now I decide maybe I want to try OnlyFans, which by the way, I've never been on. Now I got a live woman in front of me. So let's say there's Luna who's sitting,
that is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's sitting in your bedroom and she says, okay, what would you like me to do? And now that's different. Now there's an interaction between the person and the performer. Whereas in Pornhub, I can't ask them, can you put a dildo inside you or can you play with yourself? Sure. Now I can. So what's the difference? And do you have clients coming to you that are addicted to OnlyFans or the same
Absolutely.
Thing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what's the different dynamics between porn and live OnlyFans?
Well, that one, it becomes prostitution now, right? It becomes a transaction. It's a transactional sexual relationship. It is sexual. Yes, it is a relationship, but it's not physical at all.
No.
It's still fake. At the back of my, doesn't matter what like anyone say. I think a lot of people who are watching this right now, listening to this, may get offended, but when a guy watches that and engaging that, they may lie to themselves that oh yeah, something about her just feels so real. Something about her just makes me feel like, you know what? She really cares about me, right?
And that's her job.
Oh, that's her job. She's pro at it. She will lie. She will do whatever it takes to be there so that you stay there, right? But at the back of your mind, you know that's her job. You know that because you're paying for it. You're paying for it. And we have guys who pay upwards to like $30,000 all the way to $250,000.
Wow.
Just on this. No, seriously, you will see like some screenshots of like literally a tip. This is not even like the monthly thing. A tip is like upwards to like $40,000. One tip. It's insane.
It's insane. I am old enough and I don't know if gentlemen clubs are still around or if they're doing well, but in my day, 30s, 40s, we would go out to gentlemen's clubs. And it really wasn't my thing because I had this thing about it's a whole different story. But because my buddies were going, I would go. And I noticed that they were regulars. So some guys would come to the strip club to see Jane, who performed every Wednesday night between 7 and 9. And the same guys would come and they would. And then Jane would come off the stage and sit with Tom. And and then he would get a lap dance and they would develop a relationship, but it was a transactional relationship. So every Wednesday he knows he can go and see Jane and Jane will grind her butt into his, you know, groin area. And she makes $500. Then he goes away, whatever. I don't know if that's not porn, right? That's where would you put that in the spectrum?
I think that's more like any campsites, anything that is like transactional like that. Right?
Okay. You
know, okay. OnlyFans, it's very similar, right? It's very similar. I mean, the only difference is that they're able to do it in the comfort of the home now. They can hide easier. They can hide easier. That's why it's so, well, I mean, actually last year, OnlyFans did 6.6 billion as opposed to half a billion, you know, in MindGeek. So MindGeek controls all of these all major porn sites. The whole entire thing did half a billion, about 400 to 500 million, right? But OnlyFans did 6.6. Just think about that market right there. That's all, and 80% of that goes to the creators, right? Which is, you know, I'm all about just, you know, some of these women at least they're able to actually like have their own, you know, agency. But at the same time, unfortunately, I think a lot of creators would hate me for saying this. Like, they are, it's also screwing up their brains too, because they just start living life with easy mode, right? You know, and guess what? And they know they cannot last long. Once they get older, guess what they're going to do?
You're absolutely right. But there's a woman that I know in my past that was an OnlyFans model, and she was 55 years old, and she had a huge following. Sure. You know, we're talking about the 20 to 30 to 40-year-olds that are watching. There are guys who are in their 50s and 60s that may not want, I don't know who wouldn't, but they may not want to see a younger woman, or it depends on the ethnicity. So like I have a thing for Latinas. So she was a Latina. And so if I'm, and there's a huge Latino community in America in Canada and Mexico and everywhere.
Yeah.
So to go on and see a 55-year-old Latina who happened to have been a Miss Universe contestant, she was extremely beautiful. Mm-hmm. She did extremely well. So while the age, like you said, they can't do it forever. Some of them, although I think she started late in her life, whatever.
But at the end of the day, you know, what I mean by that is like not like they would have to stay stuck in that forever, even though they want to transition out. It's so hard to transition.
Well, especially if they're making the money. If they're
absolutely, yeah, because it's easy money.
It's so easy money. They don't have to leave the house. But this is another good segue. So either whether you're the performer or you're the participant or the viewer, you are never going to have a healthy relationship with somebody until they come to your program. And that's, I think, do you know what the percentage is of how many young men in America are addicted to porn? Do you have any idea? Is it 5%, 10%?
Well, no. I think it's a lot more than that. I think one of the studies that was made, that was actually a study, it was at least about like 6 or 7 out of 10 men have certain level of addiction to porn. It's about 60 to 70%. So
let me ask you this. We've been talking about young men 18 to 25 to 30 who are single or going through college. I can imagine like a med student who's got 8 years of college and he's studying around the clock, but he needs some relief. So he logs on to OnlyFans, he gets off and because he doesn't have time for a girlfriend. If you're going to med school, you probably don't have time for a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So I could see where in those cases, but I watched too many medical dramas. I just watched The Pitt on HBO and I watched the other one on Netflix. I kind of dig those, but a lot of these hospital people like get involved with each other anyway.
Yeah, they do. That's another topic.
That's another topic for another day.
Yeah.
But eventually, I guess like this doctor going to a medical school, and I don't know that he's using porn for addiction, but he's using porn to because he
relieves stress. Relieve
stress. He can't. He doesn't have time, and he's trying to get his degree.
Yeah.
When he finally graduates and goes gets his residency somewhere, hopefully his brain hasn't been ruined by the OnlyFans or the porn, and that he can have a healthy relationship. I want you to tell us about your program and how you help men.
Sure.
But I want to tell you a funny story because you said something earlier that the ages are from 12 or something all the way up to 90. 15 years ago and longer, I had my own consulting business where I would go to people's homes and fix their computers. And now you got to remember, this was back when Windows 98, Windows 2000.
Yep. Windows. Yep, I remember those days. Yeah.
Coming. Uh-huh. They were just coming on the scene.
Sure.
People, the Geek Squad wasn't around. You know, all the IT outsourcing wasn't around. And I had the ability, and I had some networking where I built a business going to people's homes, setting up their computers, setting up their laptops, their printers. And I had one client, I kid you not, he had to be 85 and all he wanted to do was watch porn. And when I got there one day, he had no shame. When he sat down, he said, of course, also, what's one of the biggest issues that you have watching porn, especially on an unregulated website? You get viruses, you get Trojans, you get,
yep,
they hack your computer and they,
yep.
So
malware.
He would call me regularly because he stumbled on a porn site and then the next thing it was all locked up.
Yep.
But it was the funniest thing because my job was to come to him once a week, make sure that he could get his porn sites, and then he would pay me the $200 and walk out and I would just sit in my car and I would go, oh my God, he's in there jerking off right now. 85 years old, but I was like, good for him, you know, like if that's how you want to go out, I don't have a problem with it, you know?
yeah it goes back to them, man. It goes back to the individual, like whether they even have the desire to change or if that's like the self-image they actually are comfortable and willing to live with. It goes back to that. So
when I hit 85, if I can get it up, whether it's in a relationship or watching porn, I'll be happy. I kudos to him. Tell us what. Oh, I'm a 22-year-old young man that I'm addicted to porn, and I realize either my parents caught me or my girlfriend caught me or whatever, and I need help. I come to you. Tell us, walk us through what you do.
Yeah. So the way that we usually do, because all of our programs have a waiting list, right? So they do actually go through an evaluation process to really see which level of addiction or porn, you know, addiction they're at first. And based on that, we actually give them certain tools, you know, just to begin with, right? You know, we have like 90% of our resources are actually free, right? You know, we have a YouTube channel, over like 2,000 videos there they can actually watch and really understand, you know, what's really going on. It's all about really learning why and what are the underlying issues in their life. It could be their fitness, it could be like the sleep, it could be even just their, you know, basic morning routines, right? It could be even their biochemistry. They might need a blood work check too, some of them, right? Actually, we get a lot of married men too. Half of our friends are married, you know, in their 30s. I would say like the most popular one is
the dead bedroom syndrome. The wife stops giving sex, so he turns to porn.
Yeah. Sexless marriages is a real thing, real, you know. And then it's important that for us is that we are looking for genuine desire to change. That's how we qualify our clients. If let's say they come to like our evaluation call, they don't even show the strong desire to change, then you know they're not really ready yet. But whenever they are, then we actually help them to change their habits, the lifestyle and the self-image, so they have to become a man who doesn't need porn ever again, regardless of what life happens. Because a lot of times it's the stress, it's the boredom, it's the rejection, the loneliness that caused a man to go to porn.
Right. Yeah. And we do the same thing in the 12-step world. So if we see a newcomer come in who might be mandated because he got a DWI, he walks in the door. He's like, I don't want to be here. I don't need to be here. Yeah. I don't want to get sober. But the difference between us and you is that we will never turn him away. Well, first of all, if he's mandated, he's got to go. But we know that there's the denial that they're in. And hopefully one day the seed that we plant in him will grow and he'll get sober.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how do you wean them off the porn and get them ready to go back into the dating world?
That's a great segue. So first, we have like different stages of reboot, right? We call it reboot because a lot of men, I think I said it earlier, you need to really completely rewire your brain away from like your experiences, your perception, and also your assumptions and the belief system and the decision you make, right, in your mind and actions and reactions. because of porn-induced, you know, limiting beliefs. And that's why we want to actually make sure that we have enough system to help them to question some of the assumptions they make in their daily life, right? About themselves, about women, about others. So they actually have a better understanding of women's psychology and also better grip of their emotional regulation, because one of the biggest one is approach anxiety. A lot of men actually struggle with that, especially younger men or even men who has been actually out of the game for a while. You know, maybe like they're in a dysfunctional relationship for years, sexless marriages, and they get out of that marriage. They don't know what to do because it's a new dating world. The dating world is different 10 years ago than it is now. And now there's Instagram, there's all these dating apps. When you go out, there's all different kind of music. And it's so easy for you to feel like, whoa, do I belong? What do I do? And you get freaked out. And that's why it's so important for you to have a system to understand, first of all, who do you want to date? Who? Is it for short term or is it for long term? Are you looking for a relationship where you can grow so you can actually understand who you really want? Or do you want to build intimacy so that you can actually have a family? So it goes back to that, and it's really customized. And in our dating reboot program, we prioritize in what? In building the intimacy, the long-term intimacy. And then maybe later on, when it gets more serious, you want to look at the lifestyle congruency. Are you in alignment with that?
Do you actually take some of these guys, let's say they graduate. I don't know how long the program lasts. So I come to you tomorrow. I don't know how long it takes for you to deprogram me and get me ready to go out in the world. But let's say, I don't know, if it's 6 months or whatever it is, you've deprogrammed me, I'm no longer addicted to porn, but I don't know how to go about, you know, for me to, so I'm a 38-year-old man. I was married for 12 years. My wife was cheating on me, or she caught me masturbating to porn.
Yeah.
The marriage is over. I come to you for help.
Yeah.
And now I'm 38 and I have to go back out in the dating world. And like you said, it has changed in the 15 years since he was courting his wife. He has no idea what to do. And so he might download a dating app or he might go to a singles event or something. Do you help them transition back into the dating world?
Absolutely. Yeah. And they have to. And we call that the social reboot capital. So reboot capital is the term that we use to just define the different aspects of their life. It could be physical reboot capital. It could be financial reboot capital and social reboot capital. And under that is the dating reboot capital as well, right? So that's why it's so important, first of all, to learn how to be more social first, right? Because I think a lot of men, they just forgot about how to be human, how to be social, how to actually really connect with others without sexualizing them. I think that's so important.
Without seeing them as a sexual object.
Yeah, or because you see them as a sexual object and then therefore, because when you watch porn, when anyone watch porn, right, you essentially put them, whoever is actually performing, on the pedestal. And when you make them a pedestal, guess what? When you see an attractive woman, you feel like, oh, you have less value. And therefore, you feel that you know, fear of approach, fear of rejection, right? And then you forgot about your own value.
Yeah,
that's why it's so important to remember your own value as a man. So you go up there and find out who she is and if you actually have compatibility regardless of her physical attraction.
Here's a question that I never thought that it just popped into my head. Would so I'm 28. I'm randomly picking stuff. I'm 28 I go to your program and I graduate and you get me back out into the dating world.
Yeah.
When I go on a date, it could be the first or second date, but between one or two, depending how well it's going, I come out and I open out myself. I'm an alcoholic in recovery. She needs to know that up front because it's something that could change the dynamic of the relationship. If she's a wine connoisseur and she likes to go to vineyards and she likes to go on booze cruises, we may not be compatible. So she needs to know up front. Do you recommend that these guys tell their, like, so let's say they go on five dates. At some point, do they tell their new partner that they're dating that they had a porn addiction?
Only if it makes sense, right? Only if it makes sense for their reboot, because everyone, we actually have all of our clients to define the definition of the reboot. And if it's something, you know, if it's with someone, you know, who actually they can build longer term intimacy, sure. If it's like just the first date, second date, it actually doesn't make
sense. No. Because you're going to scare her off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or like, it's just like, you're being vulnerable way too soon.
Yeah, you're opening up too soon. No, I got to do it early on because I'm trying to find out whether we're going to be compatible. So if she's going to be like, sometimes I could tell from their profile, you know, in some of the dating profiles, they'll say, do you drink? And their choices are never, sometimes, often, or regularly, something like that.
And if
I come across like regularly, you know, like I know that this woman drinks daily and it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. So I need to tell her up front, I'm in recovery. And what's interesting is that the first thing out of their mouth is, if we're like at a dinner or we meet at a bar, she'll say, is it okay if I have a glass of wine? You know, like, yes, you can have a glass of wine. Yeah. But they need to know my background. So, but I could see in the porn world, a lot of women, let's talk about this for a second. We got a few minutes left.
Sure.
There are women that do watch porn, and the women porn industry is booming. Women are now making porn.
Oh, yeah.
So, and more young women are coming out admitting that they're watching porn, whether it's Pornhub or watching women ethical porn. Okay.
Sure.
Talk about that for a second.
Oh, no, we actually do not have, because that's a very different thing, right? You know, women, you know, who actually struggle with porn addiction. So, we don't really work with them. We refer out usually. Yeah, because a woman's psychology and sexual arousal template is so different than men. And that's why we don't really work with them specifically.
Okay, here comes a curveball. All right, so we're playing baseball and here comes a curveball.
Let's go.
You don't see this coming. I'm dating somebody and I've gone through your program and you taught me how to be seductive and intimate and court a woman. And I find somebody and I'm dating her and 2, 3, 4, 5 dates go by and we decide that, hey, let's give this a try.
Sure.
And we let's commit maybe 6 dates, let's say.
Yeah.
And then 7 months into the thing, that's when we're having sex now. We're enjoying each other's company. Mm-hmm. And then one day I'm in bed and the woman says to me, hey, Andrew, do you ever watch porn? Would you like to watch a porn with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's like a woman asking me, would you like to have a glass of champagne with me?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So
how would he handle that?
That's a great question. Actually, this is not necessarily a curveball. This happens all the time in a lot of our clients' situation. So we just tell them, because everyone has different boundaries. And if it's in that boundary of any kind of exposure of pornographic, you know, or even sometimes even just like, you know, swimsuit magazines, you know, of pictures or whatnot could trigger them. They set the boundary. They have to actually set that boundary with whoever they actually surround themselves with. And if, let's say, their partner actually say that, well, he has to be upfront and actually be honest with that, especially when it comes to like a relationship that you've been together for like 7, 8 months, you know?
So his answer would be, I would prefer if we didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to set the boundary.
Yeah. You know? Otherwise, he's just going to relapse.
Yeah. If that's a strong boundary for him. Do we have guys, you know, who actually like have rebooted? They've gone to the maintenance reboot stage. And sometimes, you know, let's say they watch a movie, randomly a sex scene comes up. It actually doesn't bother them. Oh, yeah. We have those guys too. And then,
well, if you talk about an R-rated movie, you might see, you know, I've seen plenty of them. And the sheets are up. So when the woman's riding the guy on top, her sheets are all wrapped around her body. But there are a couple of movies where it's more vivid or more.
Yeah. So you at the end of the day, it goes back to the self-awareness of it. You know, you got to actually make sure you know what your boundaries are and you don't cross that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I got one or two questions left and then we'll say goodbye. And I did ask you this at the beginning, and I'm just curious. You are seeing many, many, many men from 15, I guess, all the way up to 40.
No,
whatever.
We actually only see men from like 18 just because the legal age, right?
Okay.
You know? Yeah, you know. And, all right. And so
what is, because this podcast is about dating, what do you see is the problem in the modern dating world?
Yeah, I think both men and women are delusional, right? Because of the exposure of like these content out there, not just porn, you know, but also social media and the way that we use social media. And we're so glued to our phones.
Yep.
And we don't know how to actually have meaningful conversations anymore with humans where we actually feel energized and we're able to actually bring whatever value in that conversation into our world and to implement them. I think that's a lost skill with a lot of people, and including both men and women.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not just saying that, you know, it's just...
No, it works both ways.
For women, it works both ways, right? So like for women, you know, I think like the problem is because of Instagram, any man can actually drop a DM to any woman's DM. And because of that, they have the imagination of that they can get any guys in the world, including like the Sultan, you know, from freaking Dubai, right? You know, and that you can get on a yacht. And then if like a woman that looks like them, oh, hey, I actually look prettier than her. Well, I should be on that yacht, right? And guess what? It gets into their head and then they think that they deserve that kind of man when they actually haven't earned it. And it's the same thing for men too. Men would look at, you know, these Instagram posts and everything. Oh, wait, why does this dude, you know, have this, you know, really beautiful woman next to her? Oh, is it because of money, all that stuff and everything? But porn fucks him up and he doesn't even know what it takes to be a successful man and to behave like that man. But he also doesn't know whether that man is actually paying her. Like, there's so much story in there, you know?
Yeah. And most like, likely... Yeah, it most likely if you see women on one of these yachts in the Mediterranean Sea, like you said, there
is some transactional aspects of it, or some of them might be because of fame. Let's say like it's a famous guy. Like if you look at like, let's say Dan Brazilian, right, for example, right? You know, for him, it's fame,
yeah.
You know? Like women want to literally like have sex with him just because they can say they have sex.
I had sex with him.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a different thing. But there's also a transactional value rather than an actual genuine desire to build intimacy. And I think a lot of guys need to realize that value right there. But I think so many guys, they're looking for that, just like that instant gratification. And the ego boosting, like, oh yeah, I backed that chick, right? You know, and that is enough, right? And then hence they lose the plot. So
yeah, it's a shame. We I think, I don't know how we're going to do it with the younger generation, but I think we need to go back to old traditional values, put the cell phones away, meet people in real life, have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you a story of somebody that I started dating a few weeks ago, and it imploded because of communication problems through the telephone, through the texting. And person would not pick up the phone and talk to me. And it was everything through text. And I finally had to give up. I was like, okay. And, you know, it's interesting how you said something earlier about the woman didn't earn that or didn't deserve that. I forget how you put it. But, well, actually, this is off topic. But I don't know if I should go there. But there's... When I was dating, I was chasing women. I would find a beautiful woman and I would chase her and court her and make her feel like she was beautiful. And I went to therapy and I had some coaches and I had my sponsor, I had my support group. And I was told that if you chase a woman too much, too fast, too quick, you're going to push her away. You're going to push her away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah.
Even though I'm not
needy.
Yeah,
it's neediness.
There you go.
Energy. Yeah, and because of that, that's why men who actually know how to appreciate delayed gratification, they're not like desperate,
correct,
or the instant like response from a woman. They're gonna win, right? And because that's the behavior of a successful man: men with options, men with abundance, men, you know, who actually have access to move resources, whatever that resources means. You know, it doesn't mean just money. It also could mean human resources. It could mean political power, political influence, or social media influences, right? You know, it also include money as well, right?
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, there's also other ones, right? You know, other sexual triggers, right? Like you're looking good, you know, you're actually close to the golden ratio of like the shoulder and waist ratio, right? 1.6. 1.8, right? You know, yeah. And it's the other way around too, right? You know, with women, it's the 1.6, 1.8 of like the the hip to waist ratio.
Hip to waist ratio. Yeah, absolutely. And it's built into us. So like I have the type of woman that I'm interested in. It's a matter, again, we're probably going to get off a little bit off your topic of your expertise, but I'm not going to entertain a woman that I'm just simply not attracted to because she's not my type. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's built in our biology. Right? And then attraction is not a choice.
Right.
It's biology.
Biology.
And there's some woman, no matter what you say, right, or whatever, maybe they're very ugly in the inside, you know, of the attitude, but physically, they're just
beautiful.
Yeah, like you can't deny that.
So. Last girlfriend, the beauty queen.
Actually, it's related to what we're going to actually talk about, which is the AI girlfriends, right? There's at least there was an AI tool that I saw, and then it's like a category. I forgot what the name was, right? You know, it's a whole category of all AI tools that you can ever find, right? So I think it has like over, last time I checked, at least like 4 weeks ago, it was like over like close about 200 different programs and softwares and websites of AI girlfriends.
Different types of bodies, color, eye color, ethnicity.
And you can design it however
you want. You can design your perfect woman.
I know. And it's insane. And you can design the personality, all the stuff and everything. And then guess what? You just stay home. And then if you pair that with like those sex robot, and there's going to be unfortunately, I hate to say it, there's going to be a population of men, especially those who are undersexed, sexually frustrated, who doesn't get out of that, you know, that the bottom rung of the men, right? You know, of the sexual market value, they are going to be the customers of these sex robots. So
there's a smoke shop down the street from me, a chain. It's where I get my vapes, and they have bongs and all that stuff, and cigars. It's one of those big fancy places. And in behind a window, I walked in one day. This was about 6 months ago. I walked in one day, and there was a sex robot, and she was behind the screen.
Yep.
And oh my God, walking in, she looked so real. And I walked up to her, and as you got closer, you could tell her that it was not, you know, she was silicone or whatever.
Yeah.
But and I asked how much, I got to ask how much. And it was like $1,000 or $1,200.
Yeah.
And it sat there for months and months and months. And then about a week or two ago, I walked in and she was gone. And I said to the guys know me there. And I said to one of the guys, I said, my girlfriend's gone. What happened? You know, because I would always come in and greet her, like, just for fun.
Yeah.
Just like,
I even
gave her a name. He said, somebody bought her. Somebody took her home. So, and I've seen these robots. I see them on TV, on some of the documentaries. Some of these robots are making all over the world.
They're trying to get more and more realistic, right? That's just how the robot industry is, right?
We're going to be in trouble because... I'm saying this in a very what's the word I'm looking for? I'm saying this not to put women down or to, but we're going to be in trouble because men are going to get tired of the dating scene and they're going to purchase more and more of these robots. Now, the real realistic ones that talk and walk and fuck and all that stuff, they're upwards of $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. Mm-hmm. But some guy with money who just doesn't have time, you're going to see more of these. And of course, now they have the ones that clean the house and they do all this stuff. 10 years, you watch.
It's 10 years from now, it's going to be more realistic. And then it's going to be a different world that we're going to see.
It's going to be a whole different world.
Oh, in 2035, right? You know, and then just to talk about the robot stuff, I mean, you've seen like Tesla robots, right? And then you've seen like the picture of like that there's a bus, the Tesla bus too. It's the exact same replica from iRobot from 20 years ago.
Yes, I heard about that.
It's insane. Yeah. We can compare it side by side. It's insane. And it's going to be similar with all these different movies that actually fantasize about these sex robots. So,
well, I come from the Star Trek generation. I grew up with Star Trek. And a lot of what, and the book 1984 with, I think it was George Orwell.
Yes.
Predicted Big Brother. About that we're going to be watched. You cannot walk down any street in at least New York City and there's not a camera on every corner. So all of the science fiction stuff, like,
it's,
you know,
unreal.
I just I'm charging my iWatch, my Apple Watch now, but that has a cell phone in it and I could FaceTime on it. And, but when I was growing up, there was Dick Tracy, and Dick Tracy had watch. Now I own one. So it's,
I know that you can talk on the phone.
It's amazing.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, so, absolutely. I know about that reference because my godfather is 91 years old. So, you know.
Yeah. And so all of the science fiction stuff.
Yeah. It's becoming real. It's becoming real, man.
They're all coming to fruition. So
I know.
GT, tell us where we can find you online, how people can get a hold of you and your company, and then we'll say goodbye.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can just go to our website, elevatorrecovery.org. elevatorrecovery.org, and you can find all the information of our team members and programs and whatnot. And if you want to just learn a little bit more about, like, maybe just tips and tricks about either dating or even like about quitting porn, you know, or even just like getting better with your physical health and fitness, you can check us out on Porn Reboot on YouTube. And we also on Spotify, we have a podcast, you know, we are on.
Oh, really? iTunes. Okay.
Oh, yeah. We're everywhere. Yeah. So, you know, we have over like 600 episodes on Spotify now, you know. Okay. Yeah. And also on iTunes. So yeah, check us out. Listen to it. You know, subscribe. We appreciate the support, because this is a movement, man. It's called a reboot movement. We cannot do just us, you know, like we need to just pass it on, you know, to the next person. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll put all that information in the show notes, and
awesome.
You're doing great work, GT.
Thank you, man.
You're hopefully you'll save the generation, because this generation is going to be, I'm a little older than you, but the generation today is going to be the one that's going to be ruling this country when you're 60 or 80 and you need Social Security. So we got to fix this generation today. So,
well, GT, at least for those who need help, you know, we'll be there for them.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
GT, thank you for joining us today. It's been an enlightening conversation, and we'll talk to you soon. All right?
Awesome. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you.
My pleasure. I would like to thank GT Tan very much for stopping by. You know, we've had a couple of episodes about porn addiction, but there was something about this one that kind of drove it home. And guys and ladies, you know, porn out there today is a lot different than it was many, many years ago, but it is causing problems in relationships. And not that does anybody has a problem with the porn itself, especially some of the new stuff coming out, but it is becoming a problem and an addiction to many, many people, men and women, primarily men. And it's causing problems in the dating, in the modern dating digital age, which is what this podcast is all about. So with that said, if you are enjoying the podcast and this episode and all the episodes, please like, subscribe, leave a review down below. Also, buy me a cup of coffee in the show notes and maybe pass this show along to a friend that you know is in the digital dating. And don't forget about my friend Paul Bauer. In the show notes is a link to his merch and his books and all the everything that he's selling, including his podcast. Well, he's not selling his podcast, but anyway, Come On Man podcast with Paul Bauer, somebody that I'm really stand behind, and his merch. So go check him out. Helps him out, helps me out, helps you out, because he's doing a great job, guys. And I hope I'm doing a great job for you. And if I am, come back next week. I think next week we might do something a little different, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to tune in. And I hope you're enjoying your summer, because summer's finally here on the East Coast in Long Island. So get out there and enjoy the summer, because it around here, it only lasts like 8 to 10 weeks, and then it's like right back to the cold. So anyway, I'm blabbering. Until next week, Anonymous Andrew. Ciao.